because we got the alternative energy. Right. On nuclear free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Welcome to the Radioactive Show. My name is Sam, and in this episode, actually I'm going to restart the show with the old theme song, Balu's 1984 single, Leave It in the Ground. And I'm going to share how I ended up hearing the beginning of that track literally hundreds of times, as I spent most of a year archiving 11 years of cassette recordings, specifically episodes of The Radioactive Show from 1988 to 1999. That was, of course, Leave It in the Ground by Balu, the opening song played on this show for over 20 years. So I recently completed a year-long project to digitize the contents of over 400 cassettes, capturing 397 episodes of The Radioactive Show, recordings entrusted to me by the former producer of the show, Eric Miller. Eric wrote, produced, paneled, and drove The Radioactive Show for an incredible 18-year period from 1988 to 2006. He worked alongside a diverse and wide group of co-presenters who all appear in these recordings. As well as episodes of the shows, there are over 100 other cassettes of anti-nuclear recordings from actions, meetings, lectures, interviews, as Eric Miller himself says, the entire history of the movement at the time. Jabaluka, Roxby Downs, Honeymoon, Rockstop, Pine Gap, anti-Gulf War demonstrations, marches, rallies, whatever was going on, The Radioactive Show covered it. Eric and his recorder was there. Last year, I sat down with him in his kitchen in his home in Beaumaris. We'd just finished looking through his extensive collection of recordings, which he was transferring over to me to be digitized. We chatted over a cup of tea and, of course, a recorder, although sadly the one I was using was now a digital recorder, I'm somewhat embarrassed to say. And unlike Eric's scripts and run sheets, this conversation was unscripted. Well, thanks for chatting with me today, Eric. I understand you were a member of the Radioactive Show for a long time. Can you give us a bit of your history?
I produced the Radioactive Show from 1988 to 2006, so it's about 18 years. I remember the first Radioactive Show I did was I went to Sydney when the ships came in for the 2000 year celebration, and all the Indigenous people were protesting everywhere. There was huge demonstrations there, and I recorded some of the speakers they had there and what happened with the demonstrations there, and so that was my first Radioactive Show I did. And those times I just had a little Sony recorder, and we did it on a cassette tape, and that's how we got the show to air.
Awesome, yeah, and I've just been looking through your archives of 18 years almost of cassettes and mini disc recordings. What kind of drew you into recording? Did you have a background in that, or was it just an interest in preserving these things?
Well, I was a member of the Movement Against Uranium Mining. I'd been for a number of years, and the Movement Against Uranium Mining, they were looking for someone else. They ran the Radioactive Show. The Movement Against Uranium Mine was one of the groups that helped set up 3CR, and they've had their show on 3CR on the Saturday morning since it began, and so they were looking for someone to do the show, because the person who was doing it was packing up, and I sort of got pushed into it, like you do in groups, you know. If somebody helps you, put your hand up for it, sort of thing. So I did the course at 3CR and the panel course and started doing the show. I didn't really know anything about radio and recording and all that at that time. But I just learned on the job. I was doing it with a group, but then very shortly it ended up as me doing most of the programs. Although I always had someone else to present it. I haven't got a radio voice. I always had, and I usually did the panel while we're doing the show. Yeah.
Who were some of the other people you paneled with over the years?
There was a number of different people, like Linda Marks. She did the program for a long while. There was a number of different people. There's probably about 10 of them altogether that did the show during that time. With me. Yeah.
So you mentioned the long running relationship with 3CR, and indeed I think it's the longest running show, the Radioactive Show is the longest running show on 3CR, continuously running to this day. What would you attribute to, what's your reflection on why it's been so successful and continued to be relevant?
Well, the anti-nuclear movement, it is a really big movement, and like most of the environment groups, they do have a really strong anti-nuclear policy, like ACF or the Greens and Environment Victoria. They've all really strong anti-nuclear movement. And in Victoria, in the early 80s, with the Kane government in the 81, they passed an anti-nuclear, Victoria became an anti-nuclear state. And that was all through the campaign. like the movement against uranium mining, they had a whole lot of different groups all around Victoria, and there was other groups throughout Australia. So it's been a sort of a cornerstone of the environment movement, really, you know, for all that time, and it encumbrance, you know, indigenous people and all that, because it, you know, usually uranium mines are on indigenous land, out in the desert somewhere, yeah. So I think it's been sort of the cornerstone of the environment movement. Yeah,
that's good. I think it's definitely interesting now that it, you know, it continues to sort of rear its ugly head in many ways, you know, in the contemporary politics at the moment. Again, you know, there's still this issue of, you know, a potential waste dump being proposed by the government or by the opposition. There's talks of these, you know, nuclear submarines coming, and it seems like an issue that just keeps coming back around. But, you know, on the other hand, there's this impressive but small group that I think punch well above their weight in raising awareness and getting people, you know, public opinion against it.
And it's always been like that. Although, you know, during the late 70s and early 80s, it was a main, after the Vietnam War, it was one of the main groups that carried on from there. But like since 83, the Hawke Labor government had the free mine policy, and we sort of we couldn't make any headway after that, and it just sat there until 96, until the Howard government passed allowed more uranium mines, you know, when they gained power, and that's when Jabiluka happened, and the whole thing just blew up again, you know, and so it's always been that bubbling around in the background, and it's really been Victoria that's had that small group that's just kept the thing heated up, and when Jabiluka came along in 96, it's all heated up, and now with the nuclear subs and you know, talk of nuclear power now, there's still all that people all under, that's that cornerstone of people that know about nuclear and know about how bad it is, sort of thing.
Just because it's a bad idea doesn't stop it being a recurring idea.
No, not at all, no. There's that peaceful atom sort of type, you know, thing that they always bring up, that it's there, but the underlying thing of it is the nuclear weapons, and you know, there's always people in each country that really like to get their country under, you know, with nuclear weapons. And that's the underlying thing that keeps it coming back up to the surface again.
Yeah, you mentioned just then about Jabiluka, which I think, you know, a really prominent campaign in Australia. What are some of the other events or campaigns that you've covered over the years in your sort of work with the Radioactive Show? That really stick in the mind.
Well, with the uranium mining, you know, it was the early 80s with Roxby Uranium Mine. That was the big thing in its days, and that was the time when I was coming into the movement. And the other campaign was the anti-nuclear policy in the Labor Party, and that, you know, each time there was a conference on, there was always a campaign to either strengthen or keep the uranium policy of the Labor Party. And, you know, there was Jabiluka, there was the starting off of the you know, mines like Honeymoon and Beverly, and the ones over in West Australia that you know, set up campaigns around the country. Yeah, so there was always, you know, something would come up every year or so that would start the campaign off again. Some of it, with Jabiluka was the big one at the last one, and the different waste dumps that they just don't know what to do with the waste, and so every so often that they've got another idea about where to put the waste, and that's always a big campaign. Yeah.
You're tuned to the Radioactive Show, a weekly news program devoted to nuclear peace and energy issues. Produced here in the studios of 3CR Melbourne, the Radioactive Show is brought to you with the support from the Nuclear Free Collective at Friends of the Earth Melbourne and from the Community Radio Network. You've been listening to an interview with Eric Miller, long-term producer of the show for 18 years, from 1988 to 2006. You've just been showing me in your office the impressive collection of all the interviews and lots of associated recordings that you've made over the years of being a campaigner, but also going to events and conferences and lectures. What compelled you to keep all of this and talk me through your process, because I think it's really remarkable that you've not only kept this stuff, but you've also kept detailed run sheets listing who was speaking and when, and yeah, it's really impressive.
Well, when you record something, you always have to write down what you've recorded and that. I was always told that I had to keep this because it was part of the anti-uranium history the show had something to present every year, every week. So anything that was going on in that week, we reported on it, and so it's got everything that's happened, especially in Victoria, what's happened around the nuclear issue. Yeah, so that was the main thing, and like when you do a radio program, you have a running sheet, you have to know what's happening, you have to know if you've got an interview that you've recorded during the week, you have to know the last words of that. Just know to back announce it when it's finished, sort of thing. So you've got it all written down there. It was all on sheets of paper when we started doing it on the computer, we had it all on computer as well. Yeah. So all those running sheets and that are all there for the 18 years I was doing it.
No, it's fantastic. I know they're still, maybe in some sense it's gotten easier to record things digitally, but I know a big problem at 3CR is actually marrying up the digital recording with the run sheet, because they're two separate files.
Yeah.
And so even though, yeah, in one sense it's easier to record things, it's still a massive headache going back and saying, which file corresponds to which interview.
Yeah.
Something we'll attempt to do when we digitize all of this work that you've done is think about how we can package the audio file with the actual run sheet. Something I'm pretty interested in as a librarian, like how do you put that together, like whether it's in a folder. Also interested, so technologically, you started out on the radio, you mentioned using cassette, and then around about the 2000s, you got into recording on mini disc.
Yeah.
What was that like compared to the cassette? And
that was a game changer. With recording on a cassette, you had to then put it onto a reel-to-reel tape if you wanted to, edit it at all, and that was cut and splicing the tape. And with the mini disc, you could put it on straight onto a computer, and with the different programs, you could edit it quite easy. I could cut out all my ums and ers that I did all through the program. Yeah, no, but it just made it so much easier. It made the timing of the program so much better as well. And to put background music and fade, you know, different things in and out. It was just made it so much quicker to do the show after, you know, from having the reel to reel and cassette tapes. And when it was all digitized, like on a mini disc, it made it so much easier.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things with formats is actually formats like the recordable CD, which replaced mini disc and cassette, actually have now subsequently been found to not be of very long term archival quality. So the Library of Congress published a report, and they give a CDR an archival lifespan of 20 years. So and we're often finding now in archives that the CDs suffer from disc rot, or once they're scratched, they're almost unreadable.
Yes.
But the benefit of cassette and certainly mini disc is the actual archival quality and durability of those formats. So yeah, sound quality of a cassette isn't very good, but it's an incredibly durable format. Mm-hmm. And mini disc, you've got the benefit of not only is it durable, it's magno optical format, but because of the casing, it doesn't get scratched. And so, you know, that we're very fortunate that you took time to record those things onto those formats, and they will be retrievable and reusable. So, yeah, thank goodness you had the technology at your disposal. Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to add about either 3CR or the Radioactive Show? Or
well, you know, like 3CR has been going all that time, and it's been a fantastic source for Melbourne. I always said that Melbourne's the most progressive capital city because of 3CR. But like you said, all those cassette tapes, I hope they are all right, because they've been sitting in my bedroom for the last 20 odd years, and you know, my bedroom gets up to 40 degrees quite easy, and then it's freezing cold in the winter. So I think the ones I've listened back to, they've been still good quality. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic! Well, we'll definitely keep in touch. I envision. It would be great to touch base with you throughout the process of getting these digitized, but also the view is to have a regular segment on the Radioactive Show, a kind of dip into the archives, if you will. And so we'd love to come back and talk to you, you know, again, and get your, maybe get some feedback about some of the old interviews, a bit of your own recollections of those things, and just a, you know, big thank you for taking all of that time and effort and preserving this wonderful history for not just the past, but for future listeners.
No, it was a fantastic time doing that Radio X show, and listening to when I pulled them all out for you, just listening to a couple of things and looking at the running sheets, it trumps your mind and said, oh yeah, that happened, you know. Yeah, it's been good. Yeah.
And you've been listening to an interview from last year with Eric Miller, long-term producer of the show for 18 years, from 1988 to 2006. Eric recently donated his archives of the show back to us here at the Radioactive Show, and we now have digitized nearly 400 episodes. We will be bringing you highlights from the archives throughout the years as a regular look back through this amazing archive. The Radioactive Show is brought to you with the support from the Nuclear Free Collective at Friends of the Earth Melbourne, and from the Community Radio Network. Join us again next week for more news, views on energy and peace issues.
Did you know that Western Sahara is Africa's last colony? The issue of Western Sahara was raised in the Eddie Mabo case referencing Terra Nullius. Western Sahara is illegally occupied by Morocco. Indigenous Sahrawis are denied their right to self-determination. France continues to veto United Nations human rights observation in Western Sahara. Sahrawi people are being killed by Israeli drones. Like to learn more? Become informed. become an Australia Western Sahara Association member at awsa.org.au. Australian Western Sahara Association is a 3CR supporter.
This is a story of colonization. It's a story that's been told before. It's the blood of indigenous races on the hands of invading force. There's a government and an army not far from these north shores. And the tribesmen in the jungle, they fight a secret war.
Keen to volunteer and make a difference in your community? Join the Belgrave Survival Day Committee and help bring this important event to life. Commit just a few hours each month and be part of a passionate, friendly crew. No experience needed, just a love for community and teamwork. First Nations people are prioritised, but everyone is welcome. Express your interest now at survivalday@gmail.com or check out the Belgrave Survival Day socials for more information.
A 3CR supporter.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.